Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 47, verses 10 to 15. For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, "No one sees me." Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. And you have said in your heart, "I am, and there is no one else besides me." Therefore evil shall come upon you. You shall not know from where it arises, and trouble shall fall upon you. You will not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries, in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be a stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before. Thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored, your merchants from your youth. They shall wander each one to his quarter. No one shall save you. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the only Savior of mankind, dear fellow redeemed. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthian Christians, the Lord reveals to Paul, as well as all of us, that what we teach, what we preach, what we listen to is foolishness. That is foolishness to the world, foolishness to those who are perishing. In 1 Corinthians 1:18 we read, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." So what does the world call wisdom today? Wisdom is the evolutionist who studies the beginnings of time, the origins of this world. He comes up with this foolish teaching that man is the highest evolved form of intellectual life, accountable to no one but himself, master of his own fate. He is the fulfiller of his own dreams, controller of his own destiny, that he is the highest form of the evolutionary ladder of lower life forms turning into higher life forms. The wisdom of the psychologist says that we're all born neutral, neither bad nor good. It's our environment that leads us to do either good or bad things. The wisdom of the semi-religious organizations say that God is whomever you think he or she can be, and that we are all good enough and we can do enough before this unnamed God to enter into nirvana or utopia or even become gods. And the wisdom of our politically correct society says that no one has the right to say, "This is right and this is wrong." It's all relative. No one has the right to say there's only one God, only one Savior of mankind. We must accept all lifestyles. And if you call a lifestyle degenerate or immoral, that makes you bigoted, loveless, and narrow-minded. That's the wisdom of this world, of this age, that's being proclaimed and promoted so effectively throughout our society. This world condemns the foolishness of proclaiming that man is a created being of God on the sixth day of creation, that man is totally accountable to his God and dependent upon his God because by nature we're all spiritually dead in our sins. We can do nothing to merit or earn God's goodness or get a reward. They reject the teaching that this one God in his inestimable, unfathomable love sent his Son into the world to become the God-man who lived that perfect life for us, that's ours through faith, and that all have been redeemed and justified and declared righteous through Jesus. Indeed, there's lots of worldly wisdom that's proclaimed every day from our TVs and our movies, from liberal media to intellectuals, from politicians to professors, from our magazines and our newspapers. But there's only one source of wisdom that puts all the rest to shame, that exposes all their lies, a wisdom that makes everything else foolishness, and that is, of course, God's Word. In our text this morning, the Lord, through Isaiah, is not speaking to Judah. He's speaking to Babylon. We heard in the last couple weeks that Babylon was chosen by God to be the nation that would someday come, attack Judah, destroy Jerusalem, and take the people into captivity because they had rejected the Lord Jehovah. But unfortunately, the Babylonians began to look upon themselves in pride and say, these victories, these conquests, we did them all. They said, I am and there is no one besides me. Therefore, God says to the mighty Babylon, your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. The word therefore warp means to twist or turn around. In other words, their wisdom turned their heads. We would say, gave them a big head, an exalted ego. Because of their sinful pride and the rejection of the Lord Jehovah, the Lord declared that they too would be destroyed. It would come suddenly and it would be complete. As we look into the Bible and the history of the world, we see that it did happen that way. King Belshazzar, king of Babylon, was having a festival, and suddenly, unknown to them, the Medes came down, King Darius came, and conquered the Babylonians. The Babylonians had placed all of their trust and confidence in themselves and in their gods of astrology and sorcery. The Lord clearly showed to them, they're useless. These are man-made gods. In fact, he said, you astrologers and sorcerers, stand then. Try and stand and have them, your gods, stop me from doing this. See what you can do. Let's read again verses 12 and 13 in our text. Stand now with your enchantments in the multitude of your sorceries in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon you. But what will be the results? God tells us in our last two verses of our text, behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before. Thus shall they be to you, with whom you have labored, your merchants from your youth. They shall wander each one to his quarter. No one shall save you. The destruction will be like being burned by fire. They blindly follow their astrologers, their stargazers, their sorcerers. One goes this way, one goes that way, but none of them is going to be able to save them from God's judgment. So, does that remind you of anything? About our society? A recent poll indicated that 70% of people in America believe in the supernatural. 30% of Americans believe in some sort of reincarnation. 42% of Americans say that they've been in contact with someone who has died. It's hard to fathom in this country that prides itself in rationality and scientific objectivity that it can fall so hard for things like astrology, the occult of mediums, and psychics. And yet that's not very strange at all. Because if you push out from your heart God's word, the truth of the one true God, Satan will be quick to fill that spiritual void with the spiritual religion of superstition. And so unfortunately today is not much different than Isaiah's day. Religion in America is largely superstitious. New Age belief is rampant. Pantheistic humanism is taught in our schools, in our churches and advertising, in workforce. Occult practices like palm reading, astrology, fortune telling, psychics, belief in crystals, contacting dead spirits. It's sweeping across our country. It's a million-dollar business. All these man-made religions are simply Satan's attempt to try and get rid of the one true God and his word and substitute it with man-made gods. Sound familiar? What was Satan's first attempt, attack on God's creatures? First thing he said when he talked to Eve was, did God really say? Getting God to question God's word. So also the humanistic beliefs of our day is that the Bible is not truthful. You can't trust in the word of God. You can't trust in what God says about man and sin and grace and heaven and hell. It urges mankind to look within themselves. What do you think? What's your opinion? What do you believe? What's your experience? That's the valid truth. Satan said to Eve, you shall not surely die. And many of these who believe in occult and mysticism believe the same thing. They're just going to become gods in the next world. Satan also said, you shall know good and evil. And the consequence of the fall into sin is that man no longer accepts, he rejects the absolute authority of moral standards that God has set. And so today we see that there is no moral absolutes of right and wrong. It's up to everyone else. What he may think is good is fine, and what she may think is good is fine. If you don't like it, that's fine, but no one is there to judge you. And that's why our world today is a cesspool of immorality. You know, there are really three main teachings to all of this New Age and mysticism and so forth. They all come from Buddhism and Hinduism, far more popular religions than Christianity around the world. Three teachings are this: all is one. All things that exist are part of one continuing reality, one undivided unity. Second truth, all is God. This undivided unity is the God of the universe, the force behind everything and is everything. Understand how different it is than we? We believe God is God. God created the universe. They believe God is the universe. God is everything. And that leads into the third point. Therefore, man is God. If God is all and all is one, then man is God and God is man. I picked one of their brochures a while back. This is what they said in their brochure. It is time for God to be put in his place, that is, in man. Kneel to your own self. Honor and worship your own being. God dwells within you as you. You must never worship anyone or anything other than self, for you are God. To love self is to love God. And unfortunately, we see some of this New Age meditation and philosophy accepted in our public schools, in our libraries, universities. Some big corporations have also included this. And the scariest part is, it's also attractive to us. What? What are you saying, Pastor? That can't be. I'm not attracted to this kind of stuff. Yeah, our old Adam is. Our sinful flesh wants to be told it's good. Wants to be told it can do what God says and therefore is like God. Anytime we're tempted to believe that our prayers, our offerings, our coming to church, our helping others, our serving, our loving people is somehow earning a reward from God because of what we do, we're just like this. Believing that we can do something to be like God and therefore we earn our own way. It creates pride in ourselves and it strokes our egos. But the word of God is a real truth that says that we have all been created by God, and we are all lost in sin, and that destroys all pride and grandeur and vanity, and declares that we lost and condemned creatures cannot save ourselves, but God loved us and sent his Son to earn salvation for all of us. Listen carefully to this man's quote about Christianity. No human being could ever have invented a religion like Christianity. The depth of our sin and the height of God's saving love in Christ had to be revealed to us, and God also had to give us the faith to believe it. The very fact that the Bible's message of man's sin and God's grace is totally contrary to human thinking and understanding testifies powerfully to the fact that the Bible has come to us not from men, but from the only God himself. If you examine every single religion in this world, you find only one that teaches God saved man. All the other religions of the world say man must do something to save himself before God. Christianity is the only religion that says God did something to save mankind. The hymn writer beautifully put it this way: Thy work, not mine, O Christ, speak gladness to this heart. They tell me all is done. They bid my fear depart. Thy righteousness, O Christ, alone can cover me. No righteousness avails except that which is of thee. To whom save thee who canst alone for sin atone? Lord, shall I flee? The Lord revealed to powerful Babylon and all the Babylonians in Isaiah's day the hopelessness of all human saviors. Man cannot save himself, and man's gods cannot save them either. Our hope for an eternal future dare not lie in the promises of worldly wisdom, like evolution, reincarnation, liberation theology, astrology, mysticism, occultism, work righteousness. The only solid ground of faith which we can walk on is the Creator God, whom created every single one of us. For he's not only created us, he also redeemed us through his Son and then sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts to create faith in our hearts. The God who created human beings also saved human beings through his Son Jesus. That's the truth. That's the wisdom that the Word brings into our hearts. That's the solid rock upon which we must stand, both in good times and in bad. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath, his covenant and blood support me in this whelming flood. When every earthly prop gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.